Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. This is titled, The Proverbs of Solomon, the Son of David, King of Israel. Solomon was a very wise man. When he ascended to the throne, God said to Solomon, ask of me whatever you would like. And so Solomon said, Lord, grant to me wisdom that I might rule over these your people. And the Lord said, was pleased with Solomon's request. He said, because you did not ask for money or fame, but for wisdom, I will not only give you wisdom, but I will also give you money and riches and fame. And so Solomon became a very wise man. We are told in Kings that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Now, I've been working all my life on a book of Proverbs. I've got about five so far. If you challenge Solomon's wisdom, then I challenge you, write a proverb. Now, a proverb is a short little saying that incorporates a lot of wisdom. And we hear proverbs all the time. There's, your parents so often speak to you in proverbs. Honey, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Now, there's a lot of wisdom to that. Having something, possessing something, is really greater than hoping to get something that you don't yet have. And so Proverbs bring together thoughts and ideas that express a lot of wisdom. Now, in this book of Proverbs, not every verse is a proverb. We will get to the Proverbs as we move along, but it is... Well, he gives us here the purpose of Proverbs in verse 2. To know wisdom, to receive instruction, to perceive words of understanding. So a proverb will help you to be wise, to give you wisdom. It helps you to receive instruction. We are instructed so many times by proverbs. And it gives you understanding into life, into the things of life. The purpose of Proverbs is to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice, of judgment, and of equity. So these things, justice, judgment, equity, are expressed so oftentimes in Proverbs. It's to give subtlety to the simple. In other words, it is used for instruction, to put the truth in a way that it can be remembered, in a clever way that sort of sticks to you. It gives to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, also, a proverb is good for the wise man, for he will hear and will increase his learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So, the purpose of proverbs, they minister to the simple, to the young, to wise, to men of understanding. and to understand a proverb and the interpretation. What's it really saying? The words of the wise and their dark sayings, or their sayings sometimes where they have, you have to think it through. Now, and you know, those kind of things where you think about it and say, oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, I get it, you know. But it doesn't come off right on top. You have to sort of meditate on it and think about it. And as you do, the truth comes through, the dark sayings, where the truth is hidden until it's drawn out through meditation. So that the first six verses sort of introduce Proverbs, the purpose of them, and what they will do. Now in verse 7, he gives you sort of the foundation for the whole book. The Proverbs that he wrote, the purpose of them was to bring you into the reverential fear of the Lord, for this is the beginning of knowledge. To fear God, to reverence God, to know God. That's the beginning of knowledge. Now, it is interesting to me that there are many people who make knowledge their God. Education is the big thing of their life. They're constantly reading, constantly studying, constantly seeking to learn more and more. And as they gain knowledge, understanding, become sophisticated in it, it is interesting to me that so oftentimes when you ask that person about God, what do you think about God? They'll say, well, I'm an agnostic. Because they think that sounds very wise, very sophisticated. In fact, they try to say it with a Harvard accent. Get some nasal in there, agnostic. And it sounds, oh my, you know. The word agnostic is a Greek word. The Latin word for agnostic is ignoramus. I'm an ignoramus. But it's sort of interesting that a person who makes his intellect his God ends up with a confession of ignorance when it comes to ultimate knowledge. The beginning of real knowledge is the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God. And to fear the Lord is to hate evil. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My wife quotes that one to me quite often when I don't follow her instructions. Now, Solomon addresses much of the book to my son. Not necessarily literally his sons, of which he had many, but as a teacher addressing his pupils, as the instructor addressing the class, having that desire and love for them and to see them grow in knowledge and wisdom, as a instructor to the pupil, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and they will be as a chain around your neck. They will adorn you. They will beautify your life. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We have a lot of peer pressure. I would say that most people who have experimented with drugs did so under peer pressure. In a party, in a group, where drugs were brought out, and those around the room began to use the drugs, there was that peer pressure of everybody's doing it, and that enticement from the sinners, and that first step. And so many times, left to ourselves, we would not have done that had it not been for the peer pressure. We knew better. We really didn't want to do it. Our hearts sort of rebelled against doing it, but there was that peer pressure that we succumbed to. And so this is the warning against that peer pressure towards evil. If sinners entice you, don't consent to it. Now, this is enticement to crime. If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. In other words, just go out and roll a few drunks, or let's go out and rob a bank or whatever. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all of their precious substance. We will fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot among us and we'll split everything that we get, is the idea. Come and let's join in, let's become a gang, and let's go out and start committing crimes, and we'll pool everything that we get. My son, walk not thou in the way of them, and refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Now here's the proverb. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. That's the proverb. What does he mean? Proverbs have to be thought out. He's warning these young people about the peer pressure to do evil, and how there is that tendency for a person to give in to the peer pressure, though you know good and well the end result is disaster. You know you shouldn't do it. And so he's talking about the folly of birds. Bird brains. Doves are silly birds. And for the most part, the dove was the bird that they sought to trap, to snare. And they would set out a net, and then they would pour out the grain, and the doves would come and eat the grain, they'd drop the net on the dove. Now, the dove can be sitting there in the tree waiting for you to leave so he can go down and get the grain. Watch as you set the net. But the silly thing, as soon as you walk away, the grain is on the ground. He flies right on down to get the grain. And so in vain, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They don't have enough sense not to fall in the trap even though they can see it. They can see it being set. And that's the sad tragedy about a lot of people in evil. They can see the consequences of evil. They know the consequences of evil, and yet they fall into evil anyhow. The Surgeon General warns us that smoking cigarettes is dangerous to your health. But people smoke anyhow. So surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And so they lay wait for their own blood and they lurk privately for their own lives. In other words, you're the one that's ultimately going to be hurt by getting involved in these sinful practices. It will always come back to you, and you are the one ultimately that will be hurt and destroyed by your life of sin. And so are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain. If you're just after riches, no matter how they may come, honestly or dishonestly, but these are riches of which a person has taken away the life of the owner you've killed to get. So that's the end of that section. Now, he's going to talk about wisdom. And this is a subject that is going to be a very much of the part of the early part of Proverbs is wisdom speaks to us. This is wisdom, and wisdom is personified by him. It's made like a person talking to you. And in the personifying of wisdom, letting wisdom speak to you, it is as though God is speaking to you. Or Jesus Christ is speaking to you, for in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So he sort of personifies wisdom and just lets wisdom speak to you. But as you listen to wisdom speak to you, you're listening to the Lord speaking to you. For he is all wise. So it becomes a personification, but in a sense it's God speaking, the wise God giving counsel. So wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of business, in the openings of the gates, in the city she utters her words. And this is what wisdom says. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? When will you grow up? When will you learn? How long will the scorner love or delight in their scorning? And how long will fools hate knowledge? How long will you go on in simplicity, in your scorning, in your hatred of knowledge? The encouragement, turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. So wisdom crying, I'll pour out my spirit, the spirit of wisdom. And we do read of that in the New Testament, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge. We read of that in Isaiah 11:1, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all of my counsel. You wouldn't listen to my reproof. Therefore, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So, as I said, it being personified, it's almost as though God is speaking. You can just hear actually God speaking in these same words of wisdom. If you don't listen to the voice of God, if you don't receive the reproofs of God, if you go on in your way headstrong, not listening to God, you're going to come to calamity. And when you come to calamity, then you'll cry out. But there will be then, at that time, a refusing to help. You got yourself into the mess. A proverb, you made your own bed, lie in it, you know. It's not, that's not Solomon's, but that's just one that I heard when I was a kid. If the shoe fits, wear it, you know. We live by proverbs. So, we do know that through the prophet Jeremiah, God said much the same to Israel. God said, you wouldn't listen to me. I called unto you. You wouldn't hearken unto me. You turned to other gods. Now that you're in trouble, call on those gods that you've been worshiping. See if they will help you. And God said, I'm not going to help you. You've created your own calamity by your disobedience, by not listening. And not hearkening unto me. So what is said concerning wisdom is also said concerning God. For they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But they hated knowledge because they did not choose to fear the Lord. And they would not listen to my counsels, and they despised all of my reproof. Therefore, as a result, you won't hearken to wisdom, hearken to the Lord. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. What you sow, you're going to reap. And they will be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoever will listen or hearken unto me will dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Now, he again addresses his son. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if you'll just lay my commandments to your heart, so that you will incline your ear unto wisdom, and you'll apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and you lift up your voice for understanding, if you will seek her as silver, and you'll search for her as though you were searching for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. A true search for knowledge, a true search for understanding and wisdom will lead you to God. You'll find God. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, as you read the Word of God, with an open heart, seeking it, the wisdom and the knowledge of the word, as you would seek a treasure. If I would come up with an old piece of leather and on it we had a map that was drawn of an area along the deserted south coast, and it has this bluff and these rocks and all, and then, it's Black Bart, and he buried a chest of gold down there in the sand, and here's the map and the way to get there. And so we get our shovels, and we get our metal detectors, and we decide that we're going to find Black Bart's treasure. If as we are digging, suddenly, you've been shoveling sand all day, you're tired, you don't think you could throw another shovel full of sand out of the hole. I mean, you're whipped, you're beat, you're weary. And you think, well, just one more. And you push down and you hear clank. Man, sand would start coming out of that hole like a dog after a bone. I mean, suddenly, the excitement, we found it, you know, treasure. We were searching for the Guadalupe mine in southern Arizona. I had that experience of just being so weary. We've been digging all day. And we were just beat. I mean, we could hardly stand. We were, you know, just, it was tough, hard work. And I was just sort of leaning at this point on my shovel, and it was Roy's turn to be in the cave digging. And he said, "I found an entrance." Oh, man. Adrenaline. Everything began to flow. It was an entrance to nothing, but... when you're after treasure, there is a gold fever, they call it. And it can really get you. The thought of finding, you know, the Virgin Guadalupe mine. And we had the maps and we had the documents and all of how many loads of silver and how many ingots of gold and everything that were in that mine when they blew the thing up back in the days of Father Kino and the whole thing, it was there. It's still there, I guess. But I mean, we sought it. But if you would seek understanding like you seek for treasure, if you'd seek the knowledge and the understanding of the Lord, then you'll come to understand what it really is to fear the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God, for the Lord will give you wisdom. Out of his mouth, there comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them who walk uprightly. The buckler was part of your armament that protected your body. He keeps the path of judgment, and he preserves the way of his saints. If you really come into a knowledge of God, walking with him, then there is that fruit, that benefit of walking with God, God's preservation. Then you will understand righteousness and judgment and fairness. Yes, every good path. The way of the Lord is righteous. The way of the Lord is just. The way of the Lord is fair. It's the good way. Now, if the ways of God are righteous and justice and fairness, then if a person hates the ways of the Lord, what is he hating? He's hating righteousness. He's hating judgment. He's hating fairness, equity. Why would he hate righteousness and judgment and equity? Must be because he's unrighteous. He's unjust and he's not fair. If you see, you put yourself against God, you put yourself in a pretty bad category. And of course, if you leave before the lesson's over, you put yourself in the class of a fool who hates instruction. Man, you're nailed tonight. So when wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, you're seeking after wisdom, you're seeking after knowledge, after understanding, and when it enters into your heart, then you will become a very discreet person. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding will keep thee. There are people, and you've met them, they're not very discreet. They're not very wise, very blunt. to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. But wisdom and understanding will deliver you from these people. They will deliver you also from the evil man, who the froward man, the guy who is a braggadocious, and wanton in his sinful ways. But they'll also deliver you from the strange woman, even from that stranger which flatters with her words. We'll read more about her as we move on in the Proverbs. Which forsake the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in to her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors rooted out of it. And so the exhortation to gaining knowledge and understanding and wisdom that will bring to you the knowledge of the Lord, the fear of God, that will lead you in the right path, that will bring you preservation from the evil man, the evil woman, that will allow you to dwell in the land and remain in it. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, the result of keeping the commandments will be length of days, a long life, and peace they will add to thee. To live a good, righteous life adds length to your life. If you live in evil habits, just corrupting your body, it shortens your life. It's good to just live a good life. It adds length of days, a long life, but not only that, peace. The person who is crooked is in constant turmoil. He's constantly worried about the consequences of his evil. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Mercy, truth. And so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of men. Now, instruction, excellent instruction. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Put your complete trust in the Lord. That is wise in itself. But it's amazing how many people seem to have difficulty putting their trust in God. They'll put their trust in man. They'll believe some line that some guy is feeding them. But they find it hard to put their trust in the Lord. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I think of Joshua, who was leading the children of Israel into the conquest of the promised land. And having defeated the walled city of Jericho, and having begun the conquest of the land, They came to the next village, the little village of Ai. And the men said, hey, that's a little place. Give us the permission, we'll go over and wipe them out. You know, you don't need to bring the whole army against that place. And so they said, go. They didn't seek God's guidance. They just, you know, after all, we've got the formula for success. And the men of Ai came out against them, and the men of Israel turned their backs and fled. And Joshua fell on his face before the Lord and said, God, what are you doing? What's happening? When the rest of the cities hear about this, they're all going to attack us. We're going to get wiped out. And the Lord said, why are you crying unto me? Stand up. He was crying unto God after the fact. He hadn't sought the counsel of God before. In all thy ways acknowledge him. It's dangerous to think that you've got the key and the secret for success. You know, I know how to do it now, God, and so watch me. And he'll watch you fall right on your face, you know. You need to seek the counsel and the wisdom of God in everything. God doesn't always follow the same pattern. The conquest of Ai doesn't follow the same pattern as the conquest of Jericho. God has a new strategy and a new tactic. And we are so often trying to formulate God. We're trying to conform God to a pattern. We're trying to give the formula for success. Now, this is what you do. This is what we did in our city. But God may have a totally different plan for the next city. So you have to come to God each time, facing a new trial, facing a new situation. We come and we seek the wisdom and the guidance of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, going a little further, you'd think you would have learned. The Lord said, when you come into the land, don't make any treaties with the people in the land. You're to take the land. Don't make any treaties. Well, here came these men with stubby beards, moldy bread in their hands, ragged clothes and worn out sandals. And they came to Joshua and they said, we've heard of the fame of your God. It's spread all over, hundreds of miles away. And so the men of our city sent us to you to make a treaty with you that we will not attack you, but we don't want you to attack us. When we left our home, this bread was hot in our hands. The clothes and the shoes were new. But we've traveled a long way. And it said, and Joshua took stock of their victuals and inquired not of the Lord. And man, that is moldy bread, isn't it? Your shoes are really worn out. Man, you look like a mess. No need to inquire of God. Obviously, these guys have come a long, long way. And so he signed the treaty, non-aggression pact. And so they get over the next hill, and here's the city of Gibeon. And Joshua says, okay, deploy the troops, and we'll do this. They say, wait a minute. We got a non-aggression pact with you right here. You mean you're from this city? Yep, it's Gibeon. You sign it right here. It's your name. Not inquiring of the Lord, but just taking stock of the victuals. And we're so prone many times to just make our own judgments. It seems to be so obvious. I don't need God's guidance or help for that. I can see. I mean, that's as plain as can be. And so we make the mistake of getting involved in something that we can't get out of because we didn't first inquire of God. So we need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Don't lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge Him, ask Him, seek His guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. The result is He will direct your path. The Lord will guide you according to His will. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Three little pithy things of good instruction. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but rather fear the Lord and depart from evil. For it shall be, and the result of it will be, health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, he gives a lot of things here, and then he gives you the result of doing these things. The beginning is, forget not my law, for it will, if you keep the law and my commandments, it will bring you length of days, long life, and peace. Don't let mercy or truth forsake thee, for you will then find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. The result will be He will direct your path. Now, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. The result will be it will be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. The instruction, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. God is not to get the leftovers. Well, we'll give to God this month if we have anything left. The Bible encourages us to give to God the first fruits. The first fruit belongs to Him. Here it is. Honor the Lord with your substance, with all your first fruits of your increase, and the result will be your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses will burst out with new wine. Put God first. Give God the first. And then God will take care of you. The instruction, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delighteth. And so, this is quoted in the book of Hebrews. Again, encouraged not to despise the chastening of the Lord. It's an interesting thing that so often when God chastens us, we sometimes take that as a sign, well, God doesn't love me, or God is angry with me. God is mad at me because He's chastened me. I'm going through a chastening process. It's not a sign that God doesn't love you. It's a sign that God does love you. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't chasten you. He'd just let you go your rotten way and destroy yourself. But because He loves you, He chastens you. He lets you realize the danger. He gives you a taste of the destruction that can come from that attitude, from that path that you are walking. And so because God loves you, He chastens you. And thus, I'm not to despise that chastening of the Lord. I'm not to look upon it as God having forsaken me or God being angry with me. It's just a sign that God loves me and He's correcting me to keep me from destroying myself. For whom the Lord loveth, He corrects, even as the Father the Son. Now, you don't, at least you shouldn't, chasten the kid down the street. You're chasing your own kids. Chasing the kid down the street, you get in trouble. But you're chasing your own kids. Ah, this stupid world we're living in, you can get in trouble for that now. But the fact that God chastens me should comfort me, because it's proof that I'm His child. If I wasn't His child, He wouldn't chasten me. So next time you're chasing the Lord, just say, all right, I'm still His child, you know. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. So the discovery of wisdom, the result, the fruit of it is happiness. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. The gain of it is better than fine gold. She is more precious, that is wisdom and understanding, more precious than rubies. And all of the things that you can desire are not to be compared with her. We're gonna get some proverbs. This is sort of giving you a background to some of the proverbs that we're going to come to. As a diamond in a swine's snout, so is a woman without discretion. I mean, just wisdom and understanding are valuable. They are precious, more precious than rubies. And you can't compare anything with wisdom and understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. Now again, wisdom again is personified and here in a feminine. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. For the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. So if I come to wisdom and understanding, I'll come to an understanding of the Lord. By wisdom he framed the earth, he founded the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. So again, the instruction with the result. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. If you do, there'll be life to your soul. There'll be grace to your neck. And then you will walk in the way safely. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Now, instruction again. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. God is going to bring his judgment upon the wicked. Don't fear when the judgment begins to fall upon the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep thy foot from being taken. How glorious it is to walk with the Lord, to walk in the understanding of God, to walk in the knowledge of the Most High. For the evil who forsake the Lord and forsake his way, their day is coming. The day of desolation is coming. But we need not fear when that day comes, because God will keep us. The Lord will be your confidence. We'll come to a proverb. The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. When the day of desolation comes, the name of the Lord becomes your place of strength and defense. It's a high tower. The righteous run into it. I have many, many times just run into the name of the Lord. When problems arose, I said, you know, you're facing a crisis, an immediate situation. You've got the brakes on, your car is skidding, and you're heading for the wall, and there's just no way, you know. I mean, you're just sort of bracing yourself, and you say, oh, Jesus, that's all you've got time to say. And somehow, you close your eyes and you wait for the smash, but the smash doesn't come. You know, you open your eyes. How did I ever stop? You know, it's just, the Lord is your confidence. He'll sustain, he'll keep. Now, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. If you have the capacity to do good to someone, you have the ability to do it, then don't withhold that good. And don't say to your neighbor, come back again tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you have it by your side. Don't put him off. If you've got it right there, don't say, oh, come back tomorrow. But give it to him immediately. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing that he dwells securely by you. Don't strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Don't go out and pick a fight. Don't go out and meddle in problems that don't pertain to you. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. One man is an abomination to God, the froward, but God's secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Now we get into contrast here, and this is a way of creating Proverbs by putting contrasting thoughts together. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly. Both Peter and James quote this latter portion. He gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So getting out now into these Proverbs, as you get into these contrasting thoughts and ideas, by which wisdom, instruction in wisdom, righteousness, judgment, equity are given to us. As we move on into this next portion, we're going to be getting into just a lot of good wisdom. So we encourage you just to gain now wisdom and understanding of the ways of the Lord by just really studying these Proverbs and letting them really minister to your heart. Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom, instruction in righteousness and in truth and in equity. May we walk, Lord, in that righteousness and in that truth. May we incline our hearts to understanding, to knowledge, and to wisdom, that we may come into the fear of the Lord, and that we might, Lord, receive the rewards of the righteous. In Jesus' name, amen.